now, gracious God, may the words of my mouth, may the meditations of all of our hearts together in this place be found pleasing to you. Lord, you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. 525,600 minutes. 525,000 moments so dear. 525,600 minutes. How do you measure a year? In daylights, in sunsets, in midnights, in cups of coffee, in inches, in miles, in laughter, in strife. In 525,600 minutes, how do you measure a year in life? Way to go. So, how do you measure a life, as the hit Broadway musical Rent asks us to consider? And more specifically, as we have been asking ourselves over the past few weeks at Calvary, how do you measure a life of following the Spirit? What does it even look like? Well, as the song asks, how about love? As we discovered the first week of the series, we can trust in the power of the Spirit to help us to do the things we could never imagine doing on our own. And we can experience the unity of the Spirit, as Mandy McMichael shared with us the second week, a kind of unity that brings a diverse group of people together who would otherwise have nothing in common. And then, like we talked about last week, we can be people who live with the boldness of the Spirit, people who can't help but sharing about what God is doing in their midst. But even if we trust in the power of the Spirit, and even if we experience the unity of the Spirit, and even if we live with the boldness of the Spirit, all of this means nothing if you and I aren't known by the love of the Spirit. Otherwise, we are nothing more than a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal, as 1 Corinthians 13 tells us. I love the way that Eugene Peterson translates this famous love passage in The Message. He says, if I speak with human eloquence but don't love, I'm nothing more but the creaking of a rusty gate. If I speak God's words with power, revealing all of God's mysteries and making everything as plain as day, and if I have faith that says to a mountain, jump, and it jumps, but I don't love, I'm nothing. If I give all I own to the poor and even go to the stake to be burned as a martyr, but I don't love, I've gotten nowhere. So no matter what I say, what I believe, or what I do, I'm bankrupt without love. Friends, a life of the Spirit is bankrupt without love. Love may be the focus of the very last sermon of this series, but I think it's at the very top of the list of what it means for us to be Pentecost people. It's also at the top of another list we find in Scripture in today's text in Galatians 5. If we live by the flesh, the writer says, our lives will be characterized by the works of the flesh, by human things. But if we live by the Spirit, our lives will be characterized by the work of the Spirit, by holy things, by love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. I know we know a few other songs about the fruit of the Spirit too, don't we? Now, I don't know about you, but I was always taught that love was just one of the many fruits of the Spirit. And I was taught about them in like this big bowl of actual fruit that we would pass around the classroom. But notice here that the word fruit is actually singular. It's not plural. Many scholars interpret it to mean that the fruit of the Spirit is love. And then everything else in that list that follows is meant to be descriptive of love. New Testament scholar Charles Cusar says this: love is not one characteristic of the Christian life, which can be numbered alongside many others. It is inherent in what it means to be led by the Spirit. One of the comments I've heard throughout this series is that sometimes we're hesitant to talk about the Spirit because by its very nature, it can seem so subjective. For instance, what do we do when one person says that the Spirit is leading them to do one thing, and then for someone else, the same Spirit might lead them to disagree or even to do the opposite? What about when the Spirit leads one person to interpret Scripture in one way that is completely contradictory to what another person says the Spirit is leading them to believe? How can the same Spirit lead us to do such different things? Or to believe in such different ways? I must admit that even as we come to the end of this worship series, I still have more questions than answers about the Spirit and how it works in our world and in our lives. The Spirit is mysterious, and just when you think you have it figured out, it surprises you again. But what I do understand from today's text, I believe, helps us to take an important step toward understanding the work of the Spirit, and that is this: that wherever the Spirit is involved, love is going to be so very evident, because the fruit of the Spirit is love. Charles Cusar again says this. He says, there may be no foolproof method of documenting the Spirit's presence in a human life, but we can follow the Spirit's tracks by seeing evidences of love. Therefore, if one's so-called Spirit-led activity ends in needless enmity, strife, jealousy, and dissension, then it is a safe bet that the Spirit has had nothing to do with it. Now, the sad reality of our world today is that Christians as a whole are not always known by the love of the Spirit. We're just not. In fact, I Googled this question, what are Christians known for? And the very first link said this: today, Christians are more known by what they are against than what they are for. But can you imagine what might happen if the church were really known for having a spirit of love? If people flocked to the church because here they experience a spirit of belonging and welcome and a love like no other, a love that they don't encounter in any other place in their lives. Think about how that might change the church, how it might change our community, and how it might change our world. Do you remember earlier this year when the world was mesmerized at Reverend Michael Curry's homily at the royal wedding of Meghan Markle and Prince Harry? I think part of what was so captivating and inspiring and refreshing about that moment was that Curry was calling all of us back to the power of love. An article in Newsweek noted that his wedding sermon followed a week that included a school shooting in Santa Fe that claimed 10 lives and the killing of more than 60 Palestinian protesters that day at the opening of the U.S. Embassy in Jerusalem, not to mention the hateful rhetoric that has become so normal in today's world. And yet, even in the midst of all of this, he challenged the world to imagine a love so powerful that it could completely change the world. In his 13-minute sermon, he mentioned the word love 60 times, and the world was mesmerized. I think especially meaningful for us today is what we see at the end of Curry's sermon when he said this. He said, French Jesuit Pierre Teilhard de Chardin was arguably one of the great minds and spirits of the 20th century. And in some of his writings, from his scientific background as well as his theological background, he said that the discovery or invention or harnessing of fire was one of the great scientific and theological discoveries in all of human history. Fire, to a great extent, he said, made human civilization possible. Fire made it possible to cook food and to provide sanitary ways of eating, which reduced the spread of disease in its time. Fire made it possible to heat warm environments and thereby made human migration around the world a possibility, even into colder climates. There was no Bronze Age without fire, no Iron Age without fire, no Industrial Revolution without fire. The advances of science and technology are greatly dependent on the human ability and capacity to take fire and use it for human good. Anybody get here in a car today? An automobile, he said. Nod your heads if you did, because I know there were some carriages. But for those of us who came in cars, fire, harnessed fire, made that possible. I know the Bible says it, and I believe it, that Jesus walked on water, but I have to tell you, I did not walk across the Atlantic Ocean to get to this wedding today. Controlled fire in that plane made it possible. Fire makes it possible for us to text and tweet and email and Instagram and Facebook and socially be dysfunctional with each other. Fire makes all of that possible, and de Chardin said fire was one of the greatest discoveries in all of human history. And then he went on to say that if humanity ever harnesses the energy of love, well, it will be like the second time in history that we have discovered fire. Dr. King was right, he said, we must discover love, the redemptive power of love. And when we do that, we will make of this old world a brand new world. Perhaps it's no coincidence that when the very first Pentecost people are suddenly covered with tongues of fire when the Spirit comes, like we read about in Acts 2, and like those first Pentecost people, if you and I begin to harness the energy of the Spirit, I believe we too will discover that fiery, life-changing, redemptive power of God's love. A love that has the power to change the world. It has from the very beginning. After all, it's because God so loved the world that Jesus came, that we might have life, and even at the very end of our lives, love is the only thing that lasts, isn't it? For love is as strong as death, the Song of Solomon says. Its passion fierce as the grave. It burns like a blazing fire, like a mighty flame. Many waters cannot quench love. Rivers cannot sweep it away. Love is a powerful way that the Spirit works in the world today. 5 weeks ago, Brody Allen's parents were told that their two-year-old's rare form of brain cancer meant that he has 2 months to live, said an article that was published in the New York Times just yesterday. And the little boy's family realized that he probably wouldn't be here to enjoy one more Christmas. So they decided to celebrate early, putting up a tree and decorations at their house outside of Cincinnati, Ohio. But then the most incredible, and I believe Spirit-led thing happened. Their neighborhood began to decorate for Christmas too. Brody's health has deteriorated so that he no longer has the energy of a toddler or the use of his left arm or his left leg. He likes to be outside, so he often sits in a red wagon with a blanket thrown over him and a hoodie pulled over his head, while his siblings pull him around their neighborhood outside of Cincinnati. And from his neighborhood, he can see an inflatable Minnie and Mickey Mouse, a snowman, Santa Claus, and a Christmas tree, and that's all in the yard of a lady named Barbara Elliott, a neighbor whose home is one of six in his cul-de-sac that has been fully decorated for Christmas. Ryan Simpson, 34, who said he is known as the Christmas guy in his community for all of his Christmas decorations, appeared at Brody's door with a plastic tote filled with lights and decorations and helped the family decorate every inch inside and outside their house. And Mr. Simpson just kept going back day after day to add all the decorations he could find. And then he started helping the neighbors decorate their houses too. When Brody saw it, he couldn't believe it. He has been animated ever since, they said. Our next door neighbor, who only speaks Spanish, took down all of her fall stuff and put up snowflakes and poinsettias and did garland on her fence and lights, Brody's mom said. We even got 25 Christmas cards in the mail yesterday. And now the community is planning a Christmas parade for Brody. The parade is scheduled for September 23rd and will feature Santa Claus and a fire truck, Christmas carolers, and all of Brody's favorite superheroes. Brody has good days and bad days, the article said, but with these efforts, he has a lot of good moments. What does the work of the Spirit look like in our world today? It looks like that. You see, in the end, our lives are not measured by the number of emails we send or respond to, as important as they may seem right now. It's not about the grades we got in school or whether we made the winning shot at the game. It's not about how popular we are or how many Facebook friends or Instagram followers we have or if we had a date to the prom. It won't be our job title or degree or the letters behind our name that will matter. It won't be about how much money we made or if we made any money at all. It's not about any of these things. I know we know that, but sometimes I think we spend our time and our energy and our lives as if maybe we need a reminder. Ultimately, you and I are given 1,440 minutes in a day, 10,080 minutes in a week, and 525,600 minutes in a year. And it all, at the end of all the years of our life, however long or not long it may be, love is what remains. And so, friends, may we be people who are brave enough to harness the energy of God's love, a love that just might light a spark or a fire or even a neighborhood full of Christmas lights. A love that can change the world. How does that happen? It's the Spirit of God, honey. It makes a little voice big, a shy person brave, and takes an ordinary dim little life and makes it a bright life for the world. And so, God, of all the things that we have talked about and learned and discovered through this series, may we be known for being a people of love. May our church be known for being a people of love, a place where your Spirit is so evident and near because your love is so evident and near. It's easy to become distracted and focused on so many other things that we think are so important. But at the end of the day, the fruit of the Spirit is love. And so may we be people who seek to follow your Spirit wherever it leads. And may we be a people who are known by your love. We ask this in your name. Amen. A life of the Spirit is ultimately a life of love. And that love has been evident from the very beginning. We know that God so loved the world that he gave his only son that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. Maybe you're ready to begin living as a Pentecost person, as someone who boldly and bravely seeks to follow Jesus and to walk in the way of the Spirit wherever it leads. There's no better time to do that than today. Or maybe you want to join our community of faith here at Calvary, where we seek to follow the Spirit together in the best ways we know how. We would love to welcome you into our church family today. And so however God leads you to respond, our ministers will be in the back of the sanctuary, ready to receive you and to pray with you as we continue in worship today.